Good evening, and if you don't know me, I'm Eric Elder, and the quick snapshot of my past year has been, in some ways, some of the darkest times of my life, and other ways, some of the most enlightening times of my life. My wife passed away a year ago, next week, and Jason was here and helped me conduct the service here at the church, and she died quickly after 9 months of breast cancer, and I've got six kids still, three at home with me and three in college. And so it's been, as you can imagine, a difficult year, but an amazing year at the same time. And so I just wanted to encourage you tonight that God's love never fails you. God's love never leaves you. And even in your darkest hours, I just want to encourage you that God is still with you. And I can tell you he's been with me, and I have preached that, and I have taught that for years. And knowing that, going into this, I still get into those dark moments, and I wonder how it's going to turn out, and then I remember God's great love for me. And I just know it's going to be all right. He's going to work all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I just want to continue tonight in the series that Jason has started on 1 John chapter 4. And this is a passage that talks about God's great love for us, that the only reason we can love others is because he loved us first and sent Jesus to die for us. And it is out of his love that comes down to us that we can then extend that love to others. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but if you need some encouragement that God loves you this week, I encourage you to read 1 John chapter 4. That's not the Gospel of John, not the Book of John, but later in the Bible there's 1 John. It's a letter that he wrote, and it's 1 John chapter 4. But I'm going to look at verses 17 through 19 here. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. I'm reading from the Message version of the Bible. You may have heard it. Perfect love casts out fear. But this version says, well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. We're going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. I can tell you the scariest times in my life have not been those where things are swirling all around me, but actually in the pitch black, in the silence of night. I was at an amusement park and went on an attraction where you just sit in a seat in a theater, and they swirl all kinds of things around you, and they have little fake rat tails that run across your feet under the thing, and they spray water at you, and all these things on the screen go by. But the scariest time in that whole attraction was when they shut off all the lights completely, and it was totally silent, and you had no idea what was coming next. You didn't know where it was coming from. You couldn't see anything. And I'll tell you, for all the other things that came at me, that was the moment when I panicked. Even though I knew I was in a safe environment, they were going to take care of me, I was going to be fine, I just had this moment of, what is it going to be? Because it was pitch black, and because it was totally silent. And sometimes that's the way we feel in life. You know, kids, you know, when are they most scared? It'd be at night, in their beds, even though there's nothing there. Nothing's going to happen. But because they can't see, they don't know. And we're the same way. It's when we don't see what's going on, we don't know what's going to happen, that's sometimes when we're consumed with fear. And that's when we most need to remember God loved us first. And his love is still there for us, even in the darkness. And I just want to encourage you in those dark times to make the most of the darkness. Because the truth is, there are some things that can be seen better when it's pitch black outside. If you've ever walked past a house and you tried to, during the day, and you look in the windows, but they've got a curtain up, like a curtain like this, it's really hard to see anything that's going on because of the daylight You can't really see. I don't know if you can see me behind here. Can you tell how many fingers I'm holding up? No? Nothing? You can't see in. But if you walk by the same house at nighttime, and Jason, if you want to turn the lights off, if you walk by the same house at nighttime and the lights are on inside, it's amazing, especially with sheer curtains like this. But when the lights are on in the house, can you see me now? Can you tell how many fingers I'm holding up now?
Five.
Quite a difference, isn't it? You can turn it back on. And I'll tell you, when Lana died, for those first few days especially, I felt like I could glimpse into heaven like I'd never seen before. It was so dark on this side, but it was so bright on that side. And when we were married, we became one. And even death doesn't separate love. And I felt like I could see into heaven. And she was dancing with Christ. And because in some supernatural way, I was one with her, I was there with him as well. It was dark on my side, but I could see in the windows better than I could ever see before. Thankfully, I was able to keep my eyes open and say, okay, I'm going to make the most of this darkness, and I want to learn everything about heaven that I can. And I looked at passages about heaven, and when exactly are you there? Is Lana there right now, or is she dead in the ground? Is she dancing with Jesus, or is she in some waiting zone? And the conclusions I came to may not be the same ones you come to, but I have no reason to believe that Jesus was saying anything other than the truth when he told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And whatever today is to God, because time is outside of his any constraint, you know, Lana is there with him today. And she was there that moment. She was there with God. And God loved her, and God loves me. And that reminder that God is just with us all the time. But again, it was because of the darkness that I could actually see. There's another story I want to tell you, too, and this was when I was driving in California last year. About September, we dropped our daughter off in California for school. So our whole family took a road trip and went to see my brother and my sister who live out west, and Lana and all of us, we just took a big drive. And we dropped my daughter off, and then we drove down the coast, Highway 1, that winds along California, along these cliffs with hairpin turns, and I've been there before, beautiful scenery, incredible, so I wanted to take the family on this drive, a couple hour drive, to where we were going to spend the night. But we got a late start for the day, and it was getting closer to nighttime, and then the fog rolled in, and then some rain came up, and all of a sudden it was pitch black, and we were practically alone on this road of hairpin turns, because no other car would dare drive on it, except someone random from Illinois who didn't know any other way to go. I was amazed how dark it was. There were no cities, there were no street lights, there was no gas station. You're out in the middle of a desert and mountain, so there's no houses, nothing inland. It's ocean on the other side, so there's nothing out there, pitch black. And it was terrifying. It was probably the most terrifying drive of my life. It was also probably the longest two-hour drive I'd ever made in my life. And literally, it just took us forever to get there. My wife was in a lot of pain from the cancer. We were just trying to get to the hotel. I had given up on the scenic route a long time ago, but this was the quickest way that we knew to get there. And every once in a while, I would just have to pull off on the side of the road. It was so tense and so difficult for me to drive and to see. And when I did, the first time I pulled off, I just got out of the car and I just sort of shook off. And I just like said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me. And I looked up and the fog was all around us, but it was totally clear above me. And the sky was full of stars, more stars than I'd ever seen in my life. I live in the country here and I thought we had the place that had the most stars of any place on the planet Earth. But this place, tenfold, 100-fold what I've ever seen before, because there were simply no lights anywhere for miles and miles around. And the sky was just filled with stars. And I just thought of that I could, you know, I was driving in the car, you know, I would have closed my eyes in fear if I wasn't driving. But I was driving in the car, wanting to close my eyes, cowering in fear. But when I stopped and opened my eyes and looked up, I saw a sight I'd never seen before. Incredible. I've heard when you're down in a well, even in the daytime, if you go down in a deep, deep well, you can see the stars up above. Of course, you can't see any stars when the sun's shining, except the one star, the sun, but you can't see any of the others. But down in a well, in fact, the deeper you go in the well, the more stars you see. It's one of those natural phenomena that, just like the curtain here, the veil that I showed you, it actually is the dark that allows you to see things that you've never seen before. The third story I want to tell you is about a cocoon. And a cocoon, you would think, for a caterpillar. My kids and I were just walking down the road this morning and we saw a little caterpillar. And imagine all those hundreds of legs or however many they have, and they're grounded for life, or so it seems, walking along as slow as a snail's pace, literally. And then they crawl in here to die. They spin this little web. This is their last hurrah. And they come in here thinking that that's it, that's the end. But the changes and the transformation that takes place inside this dark, claustrophobic place are amazing. And when that caterpillar comes out, it doesn't have those 100 legs. It's not grounded. It can fly. It can flit. It can float. It can go faster than it had ever gone before. It can go higher than it could have ever imagined. This is certainly an analogy for our transformation to heaven. In an instant, we will be changed, the Bible says. We'll get new bodies. We'll be like the angels, the Bible says. I can't even imagine what it's going to be, but this is also, I think, an analogy for our life, the ones that are left behind, in my case, or if you're in a dark place right now. I read another woman who had gone through a similar grief. She had lost her mother, and she said she went into like a cocoon state for about 2 years. And she said it was dark and horrible for her. But she said when she came out, she couldn't believe the transformation that had taken place in that cocoon. That she felt more alive, more radiant, more compassionate, more gracious, more loving than she ever had before she had entered that cocoon. She made the most of the darkness. And it wasn't necessarily the things that she did, but what God can do in us if we allow Him in those dark times. C.S. Lewis, his wife, died of cancer also. He married her knowing that she had cancer, what they said was terminal, and they hoped she would be healed, but she wasn't. And he married her anyway, and she died. And he wrote several things about this, but he wrote a quote that I love, and it says, "Grace grows best in winter. Grace grows best in winter." Sometimes we grow more gracious and loving in the winter seasons of our life than we do when the sun is shining. There's lots of things that grow well in the summer and in the light, but there are certain things that seem to just grow best in winter, in the darkness. I want to read one more passage for you, and this is from Romans chapter 8. Because maybe you're in a dark place right now, or maybe when you go home tonight, you're going to feel like you're in a dark place. And I want to encourage you that God still loves you. In fact, He may be doing a transformation in you that you're even unaware of. And not to give up on Him, because He has certainly not given up on you. This is Romans chapter 9. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8, near the end of the chapter. Paul says, "I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us." Paul says, nothing, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. I want to pray for you tonight that God would embrace you with His love, and that you would feel it, that you would make the most of the darkness. Whether it's this illustration of the veil and seeing into heaven, or whether it's the illustration of a well or a starry night on a foggy night, or the cocoon, where you may feel dark, but you can trust that a huge transformation is taking place. I just want to encourage you and remind you just to let God embrace you with his love. Let him make the most out of your darkness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for carrying me through this past year. Lord, even those darkest nights, and Lord, even those that may be yet to come, I pray that you would help me remember how much you love me. And I pray for those listening to these words, God, that you would help them to know that you love them too. God, I know you're embracing them with your love. Your love never fails. Your love has been demonstrated in Jesus when he first loved us and came to die for our sins so we can be free of those. And Lord, that same grace that saved us is the same grace that sustains us. And God, I pray that you would embrace each person in this room, each person listening to this later, Lord. You would embrace them with your love, a love that can overcome fear, a love that never fails, and a love that can never separate us from you. In Jesus' name, amen.